Welcome to Market Mantra, the program in which we give you a complete update on the economic, business and stock market news of the day. I'm Arjun Chaudhary and with me is my co-anchor Manoj Pathak.
Namaskar, Market Mantra ki taza ant mein aapka swagat hai. Aadhe ghante ke is karyakram mein hamesha ki tarah hum desh aur duniya ki chuni hui karobari, aarthik aur share bazaar se sambandhit taza khabron ko lekar hazir hain. हमारे साथ खबरों पर चर्चा के लिए स्टूडियो में आमंत्रित हैं आर्थिक मामलों के वरिष्ठ विश्लेषक शरद कोहली. शरद जी, कार्यक्रम में आपका स्वागत है.
नमस्कार मनोज, नमस्कार अर्जुन और सभी श्रोताओं को मेरा दिल से अभिनंदन.
आइए आरंभ करते हैं अंग्रेजी में हेडलाइंस है जिसे लेकर मौजूद हैं अर्जुन चौधरी.
बेंचमार्क स्टॉक मार्केट इंडिसेस स्लम फॉर अ थर्ड स्ट्रेट सेशन. सेंसेक्स टैंक्स 456 पॉइंट्स. निफ्टी एंड्स नियर 22,150. Asian shares end lower amid weak global sentiments. Key European markets also trade lower. And India's exports estimate to reach $776.68 billion in the financial year 2023-24.
घरेलू शेयर बाजार में लगातार तीसरे सत्र में बिकवाली से प्रमुख सूचकांक नीचे आए. सेंसेक्स 456 अंक लौटका. निफ्टी 22,150 के नजदीक हुआ बंद. अंतर्राष्ट्रीय बाजारों से कमजोरी के संकेतों पर एशियाई शेयर बाजार में गिरावट. यूरोप के प्रमुख बाजारों में भी घाटे के साथ चल रहा कारोबार. और वित्तीय वर्ष 2023-24 में भारत का निर्यात बढ़कर 776 अरब 68 करोड़ डॉलर तक पहुंचने का है अनुमान. घरेलू शेयर बाजार में बिकवाली का सिलसिला आज भी जारी रहा. अंतर्राष्ट्रीय बाजारों से मिले कमजोरी के संकेत. पश्चिम एशिया में तनाव बढ़ने की आशंका और विदेशी पूंजी का प्रवाह बाहर की ओर होने संबंधी खबरों के बीच आज आईटी सेक्टर से जुड़ी कंपनियों के शेयरों में अच्छी खासी बिकवाली की गई जिससे प्रमुख सूचकांक आधी फीसदी से अधिक घाटे के साथ बंद हुए. बॉम्बे स्टॉक एक्सचेंज का सेंसेक्स कारोबार के अंत में 456 अंक यानी 0.62% घटकर 72,944 पर बंद हुआ. उधर नेशनल स्टॉक एक्सचेंज का निफ्टी 125 अंक यानी 0.56% घटकर 22,148 दर्ज हुआ. विस्तारित बाजार की ओर चलें तो वहां छोटी और मझौली कंपनियों का प्रदर्शन सेंसेक्स और निफ्टी पैक की तुलना में कहीं बेहतर दिखा. बीएसई मिड कैप इंडेक्स केवल 0.05% नुकसान के साथ बंद हुआ. वहीं स्मॉल कैप इंडेक्स में 0.57% की तेजी देखने को मिली.
Equity benchmark indices continue to slump today, dragged down by heavy selling in IT stocks amid weak global trends and fears of escalating tensions in West Asia. The outflow of foreign funds also dented investors' sentiment. BSE Sensex tanked 456 points, 0.62%, to close at 72,944. Nifty 50 also slipped 125 points, 0.56%, to settle at 22,148. From the Sensex pack, Infosys, IndusInd Bank, Wipro, Bajaj Finance and Tech Mahindra were the major laggards. Titan Company, Hindustan Unilever, HDFC Bank, Maruti, Power Grid and Reliance Industries were the gainers. In the broader market at the BSE, the mid-cap index rose by 0.05% and the small-cap index gained 0.57%. In the sectoral indices at the Bombay Stock Exchange, IT index declined 2.3%, tech fell 2.1%, oil and gas rose 0.7% and energy increased 0.54%.
नजर डालने रुपए की स्थिति पर उससे पहले एक छोटी सी सूचना देना चाहूंगा कि बीएसई मिड कैप इंडेक्स में आज 0.05% की बढ़त हुई है न कि गिरावट. और आइए अब चलते हैं बैंकिंग विदेशी मुद्रा बाजार की ओर जहां रुपए की स्थिति आज एक डॉलर की तुलना में 83.54 रूपये पर बंद हुई है. उधर विश्व की छह प्रमुख मुद्राओं की तुलना में डॉलर की स्थिति दर्शाने वाला सूचकांक आज अंतर्दिवसीय कारोबार में समाचार तैयार किए जाने तक 106.26 पर कारोबार कर रहा था. शरद जी, बाजार में आज की गतिविधि पर हम ध्यान दें तो एक ओर जहां सेंसेक्स और निफ्टी पैक की तुलना में हम गिरावट देख रहे हैं, वहीं जो छोटी और मझोली कंपनियां हैं उनका प्रदर्शन अलग ही रुख दर्शा रहा। क्या हम मान के चले कि जो तनाव की आशंकाएं मध्यपुर में हम देख रहे हैं, वहां से जो विपरीत स्थितियां दिख रही हैं, उन सब की तुलना में भारतीय बाजार कहीं अधिक मजबूत है और विस्तारित बाजार उसी की ओर इशारा कर रहा?
मनोज, भारतीय बाजार की मजबूती पर तो प्रश्न हम उठा ही नहीं सकते, जिस प्रकार भारतीय बाजार ने पीछे परफॉर्मेंस दिखाई है और अभी भी हम बुलिश मोड में हैं। अगर मैं इस वेस्ट एशिया की या मिडिल ईस्ट की टेंशन को एक तरफ रख दूं तो हम बुलिश मोड में, और हम लोग टेक्निकल एनालिसिस जब करते हैं तो उसमें 22,135 मैंने निजी तौर पर एक ऐसा लेवल निकाला था जिसको हम सपोर्ट लेवल कहते हैं कि शायद उससे नीचे आज मार्केट जाती तो मैं ये मान के चलता कि शायद हम बेरिश मोड की तरफ बढ़ रहे हैं, पर मार्केट अभी भी बुलिश मोड में। ये एक एक्सटर्नल फैक्टर है जिसकी वजह से, और जहां तक आपने बात करी स्मॉल कैप मिड कैप की तो वहां पर पीछे इनकी काफी पिटाई हुई थी, हम सब जानते हैं कि तो मुझे लग रहा है ये अपने फंडामेंटल्स के आसपास आने की कोशिश कर रहे हैं। और हम ये भी ना भूलें कि सिलेक्टिव बेसिस पे मार्केट, ब्रॉड बेस मार्केट अगर हम लें तो सिलेक्टिव बेसिस पे जिन कंपनियों के नतीजे अच्छे आ रहे हैं या जिनके नतीजे अच्छे आने की उम्मीद है, उन कंपनीज में आपको बीच बीच में चाल दिखाई देगी। पर ये सच हमें स्वीकार करना पड़ेगा कि ये जो टेंशन वेस्ट एशिया में है, इसने इस मार्केट की जो पार्टी चल रही थी उस पार्टी को कुछ हद तक बिगाड़ दिया है। और कहां हम 23,000 की तरफ बढ़ रहे थे, मैं निफ्टी की बात कर रहा हूं, और मुझे लग रहा है वहां से अब हम थोड़ा थोड़ा वापस मुड़े हैं और एक करेक्शन पर। अगर जैसा कि मैंने कहा हम वेस्ट एशिया टेंशन को एक तरफ रखकर भी देखें, हम उसको उसके अलावा भी बात करें, तो देखिए मार्केट कभी भी एक डायरेक्शन में नहीं जाती है। अगर मार्केट ऊपर जा रही है तो अगर खाली ऊपर ही ऊपर जाएगी तो फिर तो कुछ और ही हो जाएगा, उसका मतलब तो कुछ और हो जाएगा, और खाली नीचे ही नीचे, तो मार्केट का तो स्वभाव है कि ऊपर नीचे रहना। और मुझे लग रहा है इतनी ज्यादा बुल रन थी तो ऐसे में थोड़ी सी भी नर्वसनेस जब होती है तो उसमें प्रॉफिट बुकिंग आ जाती है, जिन लोगों ने निचले स्तर पर लिया होता है वो उसको बेचते हैं, चाहे वो हमने देखा कि विदेशी संस्थागत निवेशक जो हैं जिनको एफपीआईज और एफआईआईज कहते हैं, उनका पिछले कुछ दिनों से फिर रुझान निकालने की तरफ हो गया। इनफैक्ट डॉलर में आपको यूएस डॉलर में जो प्रेशर दिखाई दे रहा है उसका एक कारण वो भी है, और भी कारण है पर एक कारण वो भी है। तो मुझे लगता है कि सिलेक्टिव बेसिस पे जिन स्टॉक्स के फंडामेंटल स्ट्रांग है और जिनके नतीजे अच्छे आ रहे हैं वहां पर आपको बीच बीच में हरा निशान दिखाई देगा। पर ब्रॉड बेस मार्केट हम देखें तो इस समय कोई हालत बुल्स के पॉइंट ऑफ व्यू से बहुत अच्छी नहीं दिखाई देती।
So what were the reasons behind the FII, FPI being the net sellers today to the tune of 4,500 crore rupees? So you mentioned about fundamentals, but West Asia is playing a major role in the thinking of these hedge funds and FIIs.
Absolutely, Arjun, because you know when the situation at the geopolitical level becomes tense, see any country, if you are an investor and you've invested thousands of kilometers away in another market, and in between that market and this market is that area where there is a war going on, or there's a conflict going on, there's a military tension building up in that area, then obviously I feel a bit nervous that I should rather pull out my money because I don't know. See, the worst part of this conflict is that we saw Government of India ministries and various departments going into a huddle, you know, because we have to think in advance because we don't know the extent of escalation. It is after all dependent on two nations and their relationships and the regional politics, shall I say, geopolitics. So we cannot predict as to, for example, if we talk of Israel and Iran, we don't know how Israel is going to look at that way. So therefore it becomes very difficult for these investors and hedge makers to predict. So therefore when they feel nervous, they pull out, and we are seeing the impact on the dollar index, which is over 106, which is very, very worrisome. If you ask me from a numerical parameter, it's a very worrisome number because it should easily turn the market into bearish phase. But then there are other good factors also which might, sometimes it becomes immune to that as well.
यहाँ पर आपने डॉलर इंडेक्स को लेकर कहा कि ये बड़ी चिंता की बात है, किस तरह चिंता की बात है और क्या प्रभाव पड़ सकता है?
देखिए, डॉलर इंडेक्स जब बढ़ता है तो हमारे श्रोताओं को इस बात की जानकारी होनी चाहिए कि जब डॉलर इंडेक्स बढ़ता है तो इस बात का सूचक है जो बास्केट ऑफ सिक्स करेंसीज है जिसके अगेंस्ट ये कैलकुलेट किया जाता है, तो ये बताता है कि भारतीय मार्केट से इस समय डॉलर का जो आउटफ्लो है वो बढ़ रहा है, डॉलर की डिमांड बढ़ रही है। और अगर मैं आपको ये भी बता दूं, शायद बहुत से लोग नहीं जानते होंगे कि अगर रिजर्व बैंक ऑफ इंडिया ने पिछले 2-3 दिन में काफी डॉलर सेल किए हैं अपने भंडार में से, क्योंकि हमारा भंडार इस समय 650 बिलियन डॉलर के आसपास पहुंच रहा है, और इस समय आरबीआई ये अफोर्ड कर सकता है कि वो अपने डॉलर्स को यहां पर बेचे, तो डॉलर्स को बेच के रिजर्व बैंक ने इसको, मैं तो यूं कहूंगा कि अगर 83-85 से ऊपर निकल गया रुपया तो इसको काफी हद तक ठहरा रखा है। शायद अगर आरबीआई नहीं इसको बेचता तो आज ये आपको रुपए की कीमत 84-85 तक भी जाती हुई दिखती। तो जब डॉलर यहां से जाएगा तो डॉलर की डिमांड बढ़ेगी, उसी के लिए हम डॉलर इंडेक्स कहते हैं, प्रिंसिपल करेंसी उसमें हुआ है, तो इसलिए हमें डॉलर इंडेक्स ज्यादा ये बताता है कि आउटफ्लो भारत से डॉलर की ज्यादा हो रही है। और अगर भारत से आउटफ्लो ज्यादा हो रही है तो ये मेरे ख्याल आपके सवाल का अगर सटीक बिल्कुल जवाब आए तो इसका मतलब है मार्केट से भी पैसा निकल रहा है, और मार्केट से पैसा निकलने का मतलब है कि वो बेच रहे हैं, और बेच रहे हैं तो मार्केट नीचे जा रहा है, तो सीधा सीधा मार्केट से ये संबंध रखता है, इसलिए हम डॉलर इंडेक्स को बहुत ही महत्वपूर्ण पैमाना मान के चलते हैं।
सो दी एफआईआई एफपीआई फोकस बिफोर दी वेस्ट एशिया टेंशन्स वॉज ऑन स्मॉल कैप एंड मिड कैप एंड वी सॉ दैट डिस्पाइट व्हाट द सेंसेक्स एंड निफ्टी हैज डन इन द मार्केट टुडे दे हैव गॉन अप स्पेशली स्मॉल कैप व्हाट डज इट टेल यू अबाउट market resilience and what does this mean for the market in the week ahead?
I think, Arjun, the market, as far as Indian markets are concerned, I would say they are in a very, very healthy state otherwise. When we look at the fundamentals, our PE ratios, we were once being called as overpriced markets, so our PE ratios had gone up, but now I think the results have been so good. The EPS of the companies, the earning per share based on which we calculate the PE, I think that EPS has gone up. And that has resulted in the market fundamentals improving, which is why we saw the interest of these FPIs and FIIs into Indian markets. But now, because this is the situation, I think coming to the second part of your question, that how do we look at the market next week, the market undertone is still bullish. Although we have, for the third consecutive day, we have closed in red. But the undertone, because we measure the market, Arjun, by various parameters. You know, we measure by their high frequency indicators on technical analysis, which we look at. Plus, we look at the broad-based interest in the market. We call it as open interest. Plus, we also look at futures and options. You know, when the futures and options strategies and the open interest on certain calls and certain puts, they give us an idea. Plus, the volatility index also gives us an idea. So, there's a lot of, there's something called PCR, the put-call ratio, that also. So, as for that, the market is bullish. But it is all subject to how this conflict and escalation turns out to, because that nervousness still remains. So, in the week to come, I would say, if this tension settles down, if this calms down, or the way US is trying to explain to Israel and the rest of the world is trying to explain to Israel that there should be no counter retaliatory action against Iran or for the action which happened earlier. If that calms down, you will see market coming back into a very interesting thing comes out, that every time a warlike situation, and we have seen this, you know, this will be a very interesting thing for our listeners to note. When we saw the Russia-Ukraine conflict happening, the speed at which the market fell on being cognizant of the conflict, but it bounces back very quickly. I mean, the speed at which it recovers, the moment that conflict sort of takes a backseat in your mind or calms down, so the speed of recovery is very quick, which is why.
So the next point is short covering. I mean, yeah. Who's going to cover the market? And we've seen that despite the FIIs being net sellers, DIIs were net buyers to the tune of 2,000 crore rupees. Now, we know that their buying capacity has actually gone up because of mutual fund participation.
Yeah.
So do you see that type of support levels being consistent for the week? Because it's Tuesday now, you have the weekly FNO. And if you're just talking about the cash market, you have Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. How is that going to pan out for anyone looking into the market?
See, because of the holiday being there tomorrow, because of Ram Navami, the market is closed. So we saw an early expiry of the Bank Nifty today. And today, Tuesday, is normally the Fin Nifty expiry. Also, not many people trade in Fin Nifty, but it's a very important index for that matter. So I think short covering basically, Arjun, is done by the traders and sellers. And not many people know that a lot of FPIs and FIIs also trade in index futures or index options. So when they have short sold, so they will try and cover the market. That is short covering. Otherwise, you know, short covering is a term essentially used for forward trading, which is for futures and options. So if they have oversold, they try and short cover. So that short covering might come, but then because the problem was that today, tomorrow is a holiday, and because of the holiday being there, they did not want to carry over their positions because the situation at the geopolitical level is uncertain. You don't know what decision is taken tomorrow, and there may be another round of missiles and so going. So therefore, we saw people offloading their positions as far as the bulls are concerned, or the traders who remain on the bullish side, which is why you saw the market closing. It probably is not, if there was not a holiday tomorrow, you might have seen the market ending flat or maybe a little positive.
यहां पर एक अहम सवाल यह बनता है शरद जी कि जो बाजार की अवस्था है उसमें जो हमारे छोटे निवेशक आम श्रोता हैं उनके लिए क्या व्यवहार रखना चाहिए अभी के उथल पुथल वाले माहौल में।
अब मुझे लगता है मनोज के जो छोटे निवेशक हैं उनको जब तक ये जियोपॉलिटिकल टेंशन काम डाउन नहीं हो जाती उनको थोड़ा सा मार्केट से दूर रहना चाहिए, क्योंकि मार्केट बहुत वोलेटाइल रहेगी, रोज खबरें आएंगी कभी ऊपर कभी नीचे की। जैसे ही ये काम डाउन होती है तो बाय ऑन डिप्स की अभी भी स्ट्रैटेजी मैं रिकमेंड करता हूं। जब जब मार्केट नीचे जाए एसआईपी के जरिए थोड़ा थोड़ा वो अपना निवेश लगाते रहे, थोड़ा थोड़ा पैसा करके लगाए। एक साथ पैसा ऐसी मार्केट में नहीं लगाना चाहिए, पहले तो मैं ये सलाह दूंगा, आपके सवाल का जवाब दूं, एक साथ ना लगाएं, थोड़ा थोड़ा करके लगाएं, बाय और डिप्स पे लगाएं। और थोड़ा सा ये जो खबर आ रही है, बहुत अच्छी खबर नहीं है, पर हो सकता है कोई अच्छी खबर आ जाए कि भाई अब सब सुलह हो गई है, अब इसको आगे इस कार्रवाई को नहीं बढ़ाया जाएगा, ये जो जवाबदेही हो रही है, इधर से जवाब आता है उधर से आता है, ये नहीं होगी। उसके बाद आप बाय ऑन डिप्स पे छोटे निवेशक लगा सकते हैं। अगर आप मुनाफे में हैं इस समय और आपका मुनाफा अच्छा है तो मैं छोटे निवेशकों को यह भी सलाह दूंगा कि आप उस प्रॉफिट को बुक कर लें, क्योंकि बहुत सारे हमारे खासकर मार्केट मंत्रा के जो श्रोता हैं वो तो मैं तो ये मानता हूं मनोज के मार्केट मंत्रा के श्रोता मुनाफे में ज्यादा रहते हैं, क्योंकि इतना ज्यादा वो सुनते हैं और इतने ज्यादा जानकार बन जाते हैं, तो अगर उन्होंने लोअर लेवल पर खरीदा है तो वो उसको प्रॉफिट बुक करके बाहर भी आ सकते हैं।
So we saw TCS as a bellwether stock and that driving the market. Infosys is going to declare its results on the 18th.
Yeah.
Do you see that as a driver for the market despite what's happening in West Asia?
Well, that's a very interesting question, Arjun, because what we notice that the IT sector across the world, particularly the US and India, that has become a kind of a hammering position. You know, every time something happens, the first sector which takes the hammer is the IT sector. And whether if you talk of US, Nvidia, Apple, you know, all the tech giants, whether it's Alphabet, Google, so and so forth, so they take the first hit. And we have been observing a similar trend in India also. We saw the IT sector being hammered very badly in the few weeks from now, going backwards. So you know, IT sector, we have seen typically when the results come, there is a euphoria which builds up around the results. And we saw TCS results were not that bad. In fact, TCS results were much better than expected. So therefore, I assume that if we take TCS as a trend setter, then Infosys, HCL, Wipro, I see all of them, they may be able to do better. If they do better, but then it'll all be subject to the geopolitical sentiment. I think that is the overriding factor. So any statement that I give now, I'll add that rejoinder. It is all subject to how things shape up in West Asia.
आइए खबरों का सिलसिला आगे बढ़ाएं। नजर डालते हैं अब वैश्विक शेयर बाजार पर। सबसे पहले लेते हैं एशियाई शेयर बाजार, जहां कुल मिलाकर आज बिकवाली अच्छी खासी दिखी है। बिकवाली के दबाव में दक्षिण कोरिया का कोस्पी 2.33% लुढ़क गया। हांगकांग के हिंगसेंग में 2.16% की गिरावट हुई। जापान का निक्केई 225 सूचकांक 2% घटकर बंद हुआ। चीन का शंघाई कंपोजिट इंडेक्स और सिंगापुर का स्ट्रेट्स टाइम्स इंडेक्स दोनों में 1% से अधिक की गिरावट देखने को मिली। यूरोप के शेयर बाजार की ओर चले तो वहां भी समाचार तैयार किए जाने तक बिकवाली ही चल रही थी। जर्मनी का डेक्स 1.36% घाटे में चल रहा था। फ्रांस के कैक 40 में 1.32% की गिरावट थी और लंदन का फुटसी 100 1.32% नुकसान के साथ कारोबार कर रहा था।
What's your take, Sharad, on the Chinese market? It appears that the stock market is seeing a great deal of devaluation. There is news coming out of China of factory shutdowns, unemployment, inventories. They had their policy on EVs after the real estate bust, but it seems that that's not taken off either. So how concerned are the Chinese in China, and what are we to learn from what's happening in China right now?
I think you pulled the words out of my mouth, because I wanted to touch on China in this whole, when we study the world markets, China is the second biggest economy in the world, so we can never afford to ignore China for that matter. But you know, the Chinese GDP numbers came yesterday, and in fact today morning, because China is ahead of time in terms of the time zone, it came to be 5.3, and my expectation was around 4.8. But having said that, there is a load of contradiction in that. Well, the contradiction is, as you rightly said, the realty sector, the financial sector, the banking sector, overall manufacturing sector. the IIP, I mean, at parlance with the Indian IIP, if we put that, that was all not very good. So how come, now what I'm perplexed with is, how come when all the economic basic parameters are not doing well, the GDP still goes up? So personally speaking, with due respect to the Chinese government and the Chinese numbers which come, with due respect to them, I personally feel that I will rather not like to trust these numbers, because there is something which is either not being tabled for the people to study. And I think somebody needs to deep dive, Arjun, into the Chinese numbers. I mean, if they allow me, I would like to deep dive as to how this GDP is being calculated.
Well, they're the Purchasing Managers Index. Yeah. The form on the February is below 50.
Yeah.
We are now hitting 60, whereas they are below 50.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that is by market. They are the ones compiling this data.
So I feel there is some little bit of window dressing. There's a term called window dressing. There's some little bit of window dressing being done in the Chinese numbers. But overall, to answer your question straightforward, I think the Chinese economy is not in its brink of health right now. And there are a lot of concerns, as you rightly said, unemployment, shutting down of the startups, a lot of factories looking to relocate from there.
Bankruptcies are there.
Banks are in trouble, not bankruptcy, but a lot of banks, especially in the smaller towns, the smaller banks, we've been hearing about it for the last 1 year. We saw problems with some banks. But the biggest problem for me as an economist, for the banker, is the lack of transparency, that opaqueness in the Chinese numbers, the Chinese economy. You know, all these numbers which came, I have all the numbers, you have all the numbers, but I am still at a fix as to how to trust these numbers. Should I trust these numbers? Because we should not forget that it is on the basis of these numbers that the investors take decisions. But if the credibility of the numbers is not there, I'm not fully convinced, then I would rather reserve my comment whether I should still treat China as one of the biggest, most rapidly growing economy. It is not, of course, now. The numbers, even the numbers which are in front, they don't indicate that. So things are a bit grey there. And I would reserve my opinion beyond what I said, Arjun, for the reasons of maintaining some kind of dignity for the nation.
What about the London FTSE? That's down by 1.32%. We know that they have been hit by inflation. That's being managed now by the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak. What's the future of UK? And how do you see them as a trading partner?
Well, I'm wondering why is Arjun picking up all the countries which I would not like to speak very, very good about. The United Kingdom is also in trouble. They are facing multiple problems. Rishi Sunak government itself is facing a problem of votes from here and there. They're doubting a re-election, first of all. There is problem of unemployment, rapid and massive
recession is there.
Although, again, the numbers which come, they indicate that it is just about trying to keep his head above the water. But then fact of the matter is there's a problem with the medical fraternity. You know, there's the rapid strikes and frequent strikes of NHS. Then there's a problem of unemployment. There's a problem of new investment coming. Ever since, I think Brexit has happened, I think UK has been in trouble on and off. Maybe there may be phases. Even the real estate sector, which was the biggest selling point of United Kingdom, I'm told that it is now struggling to find investors, which was one of the mainstay of the United Kingdom economy.
Well, let's have a look at the US market now. US stocks ended sharply lower yesterday amid a jump in treasury yields and concerns about rising geopolitical tensions in West Asia. NASDAQ Composite Index declined 1.79%, S&P 500 lost 1.2%, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 0.65%. We spoke about the dollar index, but now their equity market has taken a hit. Will that continue also with what's happening in West Asia? Why is that such an issue for the U.S. market?
Well, I think that's an open secret, Arjun, because I think the dialogue going on between Israel and the U.S., I think the U.S., I remember last night, conveyed a message that please do not retaliate, we are not going to support you. So I think U.S. is the big daddy, and anywhere conflict happens, you know, they say, hello, daddy, shall we attack or shall we not attack, shall we do this or shall we not do this? So obviously, United States market, and we should not forget that the U.S. government has invested practically in every part of the world. And vice versa. Every major country has invested in U.S. Treasury in some way or the other. So, U.S. is entwined with the rest of the world. So, anything that happens around the world, U.S. has to be concerned. And vice versa is true even more. I mean, when
anything happening in US directly, I mean, they say US sneezes and the world catches cold. So therefore, US market is directly impacted. And when the market opens in the morning, we look at the Dow, we look at the NASDAQ, we look at the S&P. You know?
But they're also looking at the Fed's decision to cut interest rates. That's not happened as yet. The bond yields have gone up.
Yeah.
The dollar index is much stronger. So where does this keep the US in the global economy?
If you look at the comments of Jerome Powell and some of the other state governors, Arjun, if you look at them, you know, the comments still are very dilly-dallying. I mean, some of them say that we can probably take a call on the rate cut somewhere in July or June or September. But most of the, I would say, experts around the world, including me, are of the opinion that I think it is not, maybe not just the right time to cut down the rates, because inflation keeps giving its threats in between. There are phases when it goes down, but then it tends to come back again and again. I think that is holding them back.
आइए खबरों का सिलसिला आगे बढ़ाते हैं। भारत सरकार ने श्रीलंका के लिए 10,000 टन प्याज निर्यात करने की अनुमति दे दी है। साथ ही संयुक्त अरब अमीरात को निर्यात के लिए 10,000 टन प्याज का अतिरिक्त कोटा भी जारी करने की अनुमति दे दी गई है। विदेश व्यापार महानिदेशालय ने इस सिलसिले में अधिसूचना जारी कर दी है।
India's overall exports are estimated to reach $776.68 billion in the financial year 2023-24, surpassing last year's highest record. The Ministry of Commerce and Industry said in a release that the overall exports in the preceding financial year 2022-23 was $776.4 billion. The ministry added that overall imports in the financial year are estimated to be $854.8 billion, exhibiting a negative growth of -4.81% compared to the preceding financial year. It further said that the overall trade deficit is estimated to significantly improve by 35.77% from $121.62 billion in the financial year 2022-23 to $78.12 billion in this financial year. This seems to be good news, but there are negative externalities when it comes to exports.
Well, I think exports is something, Arjun, where we do not have much control except marketing ourselves and our products are being accepted. But then, you know the global situation, Europe, major part of Europe is in recession. America we just spoke about, China we spoke about. So I think if, despite that, if we are able to do $776 billion, obviously our services have done better than merchandise, I think it's a matter of time, Arjun, that we will have a trade surplus probably in a year or two. We'll be exporting far more than what we are importing, thanks to Atmanirbhar Bharat.
Let's move on to the oil market now. Oil prices were trading lower today as easing concerns about supply risks and a rapidly escalating conflict after Iran's weekend attack. Brent crude oil futures was lower at $89.72 per barrel, whereas WTI was down at $85.02 when reports last came in. Very briefly, what is the volume or what is the extent of oil supplies from West Asia bound to South Asia?
Quite a bit, I would say. Maybe not India. India has moved to Russia to a substantial extent. But to rest of Asia, yes, there is a lot of dependence. And I think the oil market is keeping a very close watch on what's happening in West Asia. And if it escalates, I think the crude prices are just about ready to explode if this conflict escalates.
To what extent, briefly?
Well, it could go up to $90, $95, $200 as well if this escalates. But if it doesn't, we might see cooling down of a couple of dollars from here.
आइए चलें सर्राफा बाजार। सर्राफा बाजार में आज मिला जुला रुख दिखा है सोने और चांदी के मूल्यों में। एक और मांग निकलने से मल्टी कमोडिटी एक्सचेंज में जून में आपूर्ति किए जाने वाले सोने का मूल्य अंतरदिवसीय कारोबार में समाचार तैयार किए जाने तक 270 रुपए बढ़त के साथ 72,547 रुपए प्रति 10 ग्राम पर चल रहा था। वहीं मई में आपूर्ति की जाने वाली चांदी 401 रुपए घटकर 83,450 रुपए प्रति किलो के स्तर पर कारोबार कर रही थी। वैश्विक बाजारों में सोने का मूल्य कॉमेक्स पर $2,385.90 प्रति औंस पर था, चांदी $28.35 प्रति औंस पर कारोबार कर रही थी। और बस यही, श्रोताओं की ओर से आपका बहुत बहुत शरद जी धन्यवाद।
धन्यवाद, थैंक यू सो मच।
एंड बिफोर वी क्लोज, अ रिमाइंडर ऑफ द हेडलाइंस। बेंचमार्क इंडिसेस स्लम्प फॉर अ थर्ड स्ट्रेट सेशन। Sensex tanks 456 points, Nifty ends near 22,150. Asian shares end lower amid weak global sentiments. Key European markets also trade lower. And India's exports estimate to reach $776.68 billion in the financial year 2023-24. And that's it in this edition of Market Mantra for now. Goodbye. Market Mantra.